Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Scott, we're here because we love you. You fed your lawn earlier this spring, and now you're at it again. We're concerned.
Thanks, neighbors. But summer's on its way. Well, the grass may look bonny green and lovely now. It still needs a late spring feeding to keep it that way. Another feeding now with Scott strengthens and helps defend your lawn from the brutal heat and heavy use to come.
Let's go feed.
Yeah.
Feeding.
Go feed.
Get Scott's Turf Builder lawn food. Feed your lawn. Feed it.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to The Work Is Done. This is Pastor Kevin Perry welcoming you to one of the realest talk shows on internet radio, The Work Is Done. We are broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria. This is a product of Beverly Nation. Once again, I am Pastor Kevin Perry, and I want to say it is time for The Work Is Done. Listen, tonight, another exciting show. You guys need to call in tonight, 516-453-9133. And once again, I'll make this statement that if you've been following me, listening to the broadcast, you'll know that I am one of the realest pastors that you'll probably ever hear, because I keep it real. I keep it 100 each and every time, all the time. Who I am is who you get every day. So that's why, you know, tonight we're talking about take me off of your pedestal. Please take me off of your pedestal. And the reason why I came up with this topic because the last time we were together, which was 4 weeks ago, there is so much that transpires in 4 weeks. The 4 weeks before that, there was an incident with Kirk Franklin and his son. They got into a heated discussion. The son actually taped conversation and then broadcasted it on social media. So Franklin then, you know, got on social media and apologized for what took place. Now, I'm not saying that he shouldn't have done that, but come on. I'm a parent. And, you know, there are times when, you know, just because I'm a pastor, I may have conversations with one of my kids and they may push those buttons. So why do I say take me off your pedestal? You know, it seems like if you become or when you become a leader in ministry, people tend to forget that you're still human. You know, they tend to forget that. They tend to forget that you are still prone to having human reactions to certain situations. Now, for me, I have human reactions to certain situations. There are times where things could transpire, and, you know, if you push certain buttons, you may get a certain response from me. Now, the Bible, you know, tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, God was sending Samuel, the prophet, to the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons as the next king of Israel. But God gave him this instruction. He said, don't look at the outer appearance, because God was looking at the heart. Now, if we can not look at the outer appearance of people and just can see their heart sometimes, then we'll know that in that heart area, there are emotions. There are five parts to the soul: your mind, your will, your intellect, your imagination, and your emotions. And, you know, there are times where we try not to be led, especially as a believer, a child of God, you try not to be led by your emotions. But that doesn't mean that you don't have them. It doesn't mean that just because you confess that you are now a child of God that your emotions have now just totally checked out. That is just not true. There is still a very human side of you that is prone to surface every once in a while, depending on the situation, the circumstance. It depends on the people that you're around and the buttons that those people are able to push, you know? So, yes, I try to govern myself to operate according to the laws, the commands of the Bible. I have to live my life, you know, not being guided or led by my emotions. I try to live my life not being one who's easily angered, who's easily frustrated, who easily, you know, doesn't exhibit patience. But come on, when you're dealing with family sometimes, family can push your buttons. Now, I know there's some people out there who are listening to this right now. You know, you need to start dialing your phone, 516-453-9133. How many of you have ever been in a position where, you know, people looked at you because you confessed that you were a child of God, then they saw something that, you know, they saw something in you that was a little contrary to that, and they just, they were just taken aback. Oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you acted that way. You say you're a child of God. You know, Kirk Franklin got on and apologized because he said some choice words to his son. And he said, you know, like, listen, basically, you know, and I'm going to paraphrase, he basically was saying, man, my son pissed me off. And because of that, because he was really acting a fool, you know, I said what I said. See, now for me, I'm not getting on anywhere apologizing. You heard what I said. You know, that's you know, and if you know me, you know that it had to have taken something to get me to that position, to get me to that point. If you knew me, See, it doesn't mean, I'm not talking about the person that you see on TV and singing the songs and all that stuff. I'm talking about if you know me. See, I don't even know Kirk Franklin like that. But I just know he's a man. I know he's a father. And because I'm a man and I'm a father, I know I have children, you know, and who would be hard-headed, just be just like them Israelites coming out of Egypt, hard-headed and stiff-necked. You know, if God was a cussing guy, God would have cussed them Israelites out. Now, we all know that he's not. Come on. You know, we all know that he's not. But I'm just saying if he was, because he had got to the point where he was ready to wipe them people out. He told Moses, I'm going to wipe them out, and I'll raise up another generation through you. That's how tired God was of those Israelites. So, you know, we got to understand, it's not that that's how we choose to be, but sometimes people can just push those buttons. So, yeah, I totally understood where Kirk Franklin was coming from. But again, for me, no, I'm not apologizing. I'm not going to get on social media and apologize and worry about if anybody else is going to buy my records or support what I'm doing. Look, you know what I'm about in this kingdom. And see, and I told y'all, for some of y'all probably sitting there right now taking aback. Oh, I can't believe Pastor's coming from this. Yeah, this is where I'm coming from. Because I told y'all, I'm not the pastor for everybody. I'm not. But the one thing you will get when you talk to me, when you hear from me, is that I'm going to keep it real with you. Because I don't have to be fake or phony. I'm too old for that. I'm grown now. I have kids. I have grandchildren. You know, I've been established. I've seen things in life. I've been places in life. I've experienced life. And I'm at this place where I don't have to justify who I am. I don't have to justify my Christianity. I don't have to justify my title. I don't have to justify the things that God has blessed me with. I don't have to justify that to anyone. To anyone. So if you, you know, have raised me up to put me on the pedestal because of a title, it's not the title that identifies who I am. The title simply identifies what I do. That's what the title does. It identifies what I do. And it identifies what I do in the kingdom for God. Now, that title of pastor, that carries a lot of weight. And some of you probably don't even understand the amount of weight that title carries. Because, you know, we really sometimes have to be on 24-hour call. People call you all the time tonight wanting prayer, wanting, you know, assistance, wanting counsel. You know, people will pull on you because of that title. But that's the title that we accepted. But at the same time, I'm still a man. I'm still a husband. I'm still a father. I still deal with all of these things. I deal with some of the same issues that a lot of y'all deal with. Some of the same issues. But for you, you think that it's okay if you lose it every once in a while. But when you see the man or the woman of God lose it, then it's like, oh, my God, I can't even go to that church anymore. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they said that. No, so you got to take us down off that pedestal that you have. You got to take us down off that pedestal because we're still people. We still get frustrated. People still can push our buttons, and then we respond. So the question is, how many of you have felt like that? How many of you have been in a position where you said, you know, hey, I'm a child of God, and then something happened and people started looking at you differently? People, you know, they started turning their back on you, or they turned their nose up at you. Why? Because you had a human reaction. You had a real human reaction. If you look back to the garden, when Jesus was in the garden, you know, he was having a real human emotion. He was so you know, caught up in what was happening, what was about to happen to him, he went into prayer and he said, Father, there's any way that this cup could pass me by. See, he wasn't in that garden as God. He wasn't in that garden as the Son of God. He was in the garden as a man, having real human emotions. How many times when he was with the disciples and they started asking him questions and, you know, and he got frustrated. He asked them, he said, man, how long do I have to deal with y'all? When are y'all going to get it? Look at what he said to the Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, he said, man, y'all hypocrites. You brood of vipers. See, now, if your pastor were to say something to you like that to you in church, you would stop going to his church or her church. You would stop going. You would be offended if they were to say something like that to you. So come on, pick up the phone. Call in tonight and let's talk about taking people off those pedestals. We'll be back right after this track.
Come on, put your hands together. I just want to be right. 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 When you see me sing my song, I just want to be right. When you see me walking alone, I just want to be right. Girl, it's time to stay right. Right. Oh, yeah.
I just want to be right.
Stay right.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to be right.
Listen here. When you see me singing,
I just want to be right.
Yeah. When you see me tricks. He just got new faces.
When the devil trying to get you to do something wrong, just look at that devil and say, oh, be right,
be right.
Yes, I just want to be right. This is The Work Is Done. Call in tonight for 516-453-9133. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
This is Jerry Petito, Pastor. How are you?
Miss Sister Jerry, hey, how are you tonight?
You will not believe this. So I almost wasn't able to call in. At sort of like a family little crisis going on with a loved
mm-hmm.
one that asked me to intercede. Someone was
okay
doing something. Okay, not okay. I said, let me call my best friend first. I need prayer. And I called my best friend, Pat, who I actually led to the Lord 35 years ago. She's the calm one. Okay? She calms me down, and when needed, I make her get stirred up a little bit. I
okay.
called her up and said, you need to pray with me right now because I'm going to go crazy on this person and I can't do that. That was tonight. She calmed me down. We prayed. She said, remember, you're still human. She said that to me tonight. She said, you know how to handle it. And I handled it. And I got to call in. I almost wasn't going to call in tonight because I was just like, not in, and what you just said was crazy to me. So this was absolutely God.
You know, and here's the thing, Jerry. You know, people, like I said before, they forget about that humanity piece that we all have. And they expect perfection because we claim to be saved. We say that we're a child of God, that we're Christians. And now there's this aura of perfection that's supposed to surround us that we can't make mistakes. We can't, you know, have a real response to this person who's aggravating or tormenting me. So I'm glad you called in tonight because this is validation of the very thing that I'm talking about tonight.
This is crazy. I kid you not. I kid you not. Okay? This is validation for me as well. I didn't sin in my anger, but I was stern and tough and took care of it. But hearing you say this tonight, and I almost wasn't able to call in, this is so God. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Listen, I appreciate you. I appreciate you calling in and taking the time because these are the testimonies that people need to hear that just that even says that, you know, that crazy pastor over there, he, you know, what he's saying must be true because, see, people will feel this way, but everybody's been taught that as a believer, as a child of God, you're not supposed to express this kind of stuff. You're supposed to just smile and just take whatever it is and let people walk over you and say what they want and they can just treat you any kind of way. No, that's not who I am. That wasn't who I am. That's not who I was before I came to God.
You know what, Pastor? I got something to say. You know, Jerry Petito, I heard your testimony tonight. You know, it's wonderful when you go through an obstacle and God can lead you through it. You know, I wasn't going to play this song at all. But I'm going to give this song, this song is going to be dedicated to Jerry Petito right now, Pastor Kev.
Oh.
God's leading me. The name of the song is Let Go and Let God. I want you guys to listen. Listen.
You are to let go, let God have his way. You are to let go and let God have his way. You are to
Dedicated to our girl. Dedicated to our girl, Jerry Pacito, the Hall of Famer, class of 2019. You got to let go and let God have his way. I'm going, y'all.
And look, and here's the thing for everybody that's listening. Here at the Workers Out, I want you guys to hear me, because the song that he just played, Let Go and Let God, is what we're supposed to do. But sometimes it's just not that easy to do. And it's okay. It's okay for you to have those moments where you just drop the ball. I'm not saying you intentionally dropping it. I'm just saying that there's those times that happen in your life where you're not as perfect as people want you to be. And the reason why I'm saying this is because that perfection thing is what stops people from even coming to Christ, because they feel as though, man, I still got this anger in me. I still have this selfishness in me. And they haven't learned to get to that part where they let go and let God. And they don't know how to work it out. So because they don't know how to work it out, because they haven't learned to let go and let God, they won't even come to God to allow him to get in there and begin to change them from the inside out. Because the perception is that when you come to Christ, then you have to live this perfect life. That's what the perception is. But the reality is so far from that perception, it's not even funny. That's not even a reality. Because Jesus, remember when the student came to him, and Jesus said, whoa, 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 why you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. Even Jesus said that, and he was God in the flesh. But he said, don't call me good. He said, there's only one good. And that's God the Father. So if Jesus can say that, then why are people trying to, why are you allowing people to raise you up to this pedestal that you can never live up to? And that's what Jerry was saying. Excuse me. She was in this situation where she had to go, and she already knew the situation was going to be stressful. She already knew it. That's why she called somebody and said, look, now you got to pray me through this. She already knew what the battle was going to be like. But help me get through this. Pray with me so that I can get through this thing. Because if somebody say the wrong thing, now she didn't say this, but I'm just, you know, I'm just taking it a step further to get you to understand where people are. Because if you say the wrong thing to me, you don't know how my day went. You don't know what I'm going through. I am a child of God. I am in leadership in ministry. But you don't know what's going on in my house. You don't know what's going on in my relationship. You don't know what's going on with my children. You don't know what's going on in my job. And you're going to pick today of all days to come at me with some crazy stuff. Oh, you might get slapped on both sides of your head today.
Pastor, he brought me back on.
What's up, Jerry?
I am still on right now. You know, I want to just say thank you to our Hall of Famer DJ Alasky, Brother O, for the songs, especially that one. And this is, tonight was so needed for me and for so many, I'm sure. But let me tell you something. God is so good because he knew exactly what I needed. And that song right there, Let Go and Let God, we have to do that on a daily basis. I'm still in awe of what I'm hearing tonight from you, now of the songs from Brother O. I mean, I'm still in awe. When I get off this phone, I'm going to be like on my knees telling God, thank you, thank you, thank you for never failing me.
Amen, amen. And I'm glad that that you were able to receive from that, you know. And this is what I'm saying. You know, this is the place where, as believers, all of us have to get to that place where we're able to truly let go and let God. But you know, that takes growth. That takes time. That's not something that may happen overnight. It can happen overnight, but when you've been a certain way all your life, you know, sometimes that just doesn't change. That switch just doesn't get flipped overnight. But there are people who have that expectation that it is supposed to happen. You're supposed to be changed right now. Don't get angry. Don't get upset. Don't fuss me out. Don't cuss me out. Be perfect. And that's what they want from you. And that's not, you know, we'll never be perfect, Jerry. We'll never be.
No, I don't curse them out anymore, but I shake my finger. I will do that. I have to do that. And they know I'm serious.
But you found your way through your growth.
Yes.
You found your way to navigate through those difficult times. And the very first thing you said was, man, you had to call your prayer partner. Let me get my prayer warriors, somebody that's going to uplift me and undergird me. It's just like Moses when they were fighting the fight and he got tired. As long as his hands was raised, they would win. But when his hands got lower, they would start to lose. So Aaron and Hur had to stand on both his sides and hold his arms up so that the Israelites can get the victory. Sometimes we need people to stand on the sides of us and hold us up.
Amen
to
that.
We're not going to fit that perfect mold all the time. But when I am in that position, when I am in that state, who's there to help me up? Or are you looking at me, condemning me, and judging me because I got angry? Or because I slipped up and said a cuss word? Are you condemning me now all of a sudden? Have you forgotten everything that I've stood for, everything that I believed in? Because I've had this one instance of, man, of emotional response. This is what I'm talking about tonight. We got to take people off of these pedestals. When we look at these mega pastors and these other big-time spiritual leaders and we hear the fact that, oh, my God, they made a mistake, are we so ready to just throw them in the fire all because they made one mistake? We got to take these people off the pedestal.
That's right. Amen to that.
And put me off the pedestal. Hey, Jerry, thanks for calling. And we're going to take a break.
God bless you.
We'll be right back with the word of God. God bless you as well.
Thank you.
If you're thankful for all the things that the Lord did for you, come on and give them praise with me when I say, for everything you've done in my life.
I thank you, Lord.
When things were wrong, you made it right.
Thank you, Lord,
for giving me the strength to help me win this fight.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Lord,
I want to thank you for everything you've done in my life.
Thank you, Lord.
You picked me up and turned my life around.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to thank you for placing my feet on solid ground. For the things they've done for you, I want you to stop what you're doing and help me give them a praise right now for everything you've done in my life. When I was living in sin and my life was upside down, you saved my soul and now I'm heaven bound. Just thank you for what he's already done.
Y'all thought I was finished, but I got to tell them a thanker, 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 thanker to
you.
If you thankful
thank
for
you
what it done
you
for
done.
You, you ought to give them a
thank
dance. Help a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you
for what you done.
Thank you.
All right, all right. Welcome back. Hey, listen, that is Brother Olasky, Hall of Fame internet disc jockey, and he's jamming with Wonder Boy Keith Johnson tonight. If y'all didn't know, y'all better ask somebody. Hey, welcome back to the Work of God. This is Pastor Kev. Call in tonight, 516-453-9133. We have another call online. Caller, welcome to The Work is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
How are you doing, Pastor? This is Antonia Bass, and I'm calling out Philadelphia.
Hey, Miss Antonia
are you
Bass, calling from my. I'm great, calling from my hometown, even though I'm living in Florida now.
Oh, okay.
But, hey, what's up, Miss
Wonderful.
Bass?
I didn't know that you were out of Philadelphia, but you know, look, when it comes to the Word of God, I'll take you from wherever you're at, and that's just the plain truth. Yeah. Yes. And so, you know, it's so funny that I wanted to know this much, Pastor. During this COVID season, you know, I hate to bring up, you know, bad memories, but it's a reality. Were you ever called to do any, perform any funeral pastoring over people who have passed away from COVID? And if so, or if not, either way, when you were who were known to have to be incinerated, or the reason I bring it up is because I'm quite sure that there have been a lot of unmarked graves because they were people dying in by the masses, people who were homeless and just did not have family to be there to support them. I'm just curious because I don't hear many people talking about that.
Yes. To answer your question, yes. A very good friend of mine, pastor from Pottstown, earlier in 2019, I'll say we're in 21 now, so I want to say earlier in 2019, his wife, they had been married, I believe, going on 17, 18 years, and they were talking about having a destination wedding renewal. They were going to renew their vows, and they sat down, they talked about it, and they said, you know, there's only one person we would want to oversee our vow renewal, and that was Pastor Kevin Perry. That was me. So they called me up, and, you know, and I was so honored that they had asked me to do this. This was in 2019, I believe the summer of 2019, that we were having this conversation. She passed away from COVID-19 January of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So let me say, so this is 21. So no, this was 2020. They were talking about doing their vow renewal. Just a few months later, she came down with COVID-19 and she passed away in January of 2021. And so I had to fly back up to Pottstown and officiate her funeral, because even though he was a pastor, you know, it was just he couldn't do it. He loved his wife so much. They didn't do a cremation, but, you know, they did bury her. But that was my personal experience of having to officiate her funeral for a very dear friend of mine. And he's actually down here in Florida right now. Just hanging out with me. We're playing golf as much as possible. Just trying to, because he's still dealing with it. He's still dealing with the loss of his wife. This COVID thing is very real to him, because that's how personal it hit him. He lost his wife. And both of them, very good friends of mine. I've preached at their church several times. So, yes, I have had a personal experience with that. No, I haven't seen personally anybody that had to be cremated from it. I still think that that's a personal choice for the families. For anybody that's a John Doe or anything like that, I think that's just an option that they have, that because they just don't have the space to put these bodies, especially if they're unclaimed. So I think that's was probably one of the main reasons for doing the cremations. But I don't think it was anything other than that. My mother-in-law, she didn't pass from COVID, but she died in November of last year from cancer, and she was cremated. So there wasn't, it wasn't COVID, but she still was cremated. So I think that's really just a personal choice.
And you know what really gets me, Pastor, speaking of cremation, I've heard of people having to do that to a relative, maybe lack of funding, may not be in the case of your mother-in-law. It may be their choice because for whatever personal reason they feel as though that's suitable for them. I had an uncle a while ago, a good while ago, who spoke on it so casually, but I didn't want to hear the gory details, but it wasn't necessarily gory on his behalf. And, you know, but yes, that should be determined by their living relatives or things or people like that. And, you know, what really gets me. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No,
I just wanted to say what really gets me is your people who are subjected to being maybe homeless and having nobody to account for them. That's the really sad part. It take a few thousand dollars for her to do that process, almost a few thousand. But to have an honorable funeral, to me, is just a really good way of people. I don't care if you just had one person present there on your behalf, just to be able to say that you're recognized as a person who was a human being the way you lived. Thank you very much. I didn't want to elongate more than I have.
No, that's totally fine. And just on a personal note, you know, I've already told my kids, you know, when I die, I burn this body up the next day. Don't sit up there and pay all that money for no funeral, no casket and all that stuff just to put something in the ground. Talking about you going to come see me, have a whole bunch of folk who didn't pay me no mind now come to no funeral talking about, oh, we miss him. We're not doing that. So take that money that you'll get, whatever, insurance money, whatever, and go do something nice for yourself. Don't sit up there and be spending it, put no holes in the ground or all that stuff. Now, see, now, that's me. That's personal. I would rather you take that money and do something productive with it. You know, there's a saying, you know, give people their flowers while they're living. Celebrate me now. Don't wait till I die. If you want to celebrate me right now. And that's what this, you know, pastor dealing with his wife, that was one of the things she put in her, you know, will. She don't want all these folk coming up, you know, who wasn't there for her while she was alive, sitting up there crying over her now that she's gone. She didn't want that. And it was even some of her own family members did not want them coming to her funeral. So, you know, it's, again, personal choice. But I understand what you're saying as far as homeless people having somebody to recognize the fact that they at least walked this earth. So, yes, I understand that. And, go ahead.
You're about the second person I heard to actually say that was a choice of theirs, like I mentioned, a relative from a while ago, it's not that I suggest anyone should be scary about the whole matter. It's just that I was thinking, boy, how often do you get the opportunity to hear somebody to actually validate cremation when they do have at least something put aside to do that? But I'm starting to become a lot more understanding of it. I have a couple of I have some relatives who are in that business of funerals and things like that, and I never thought to talk about them. I know somebody who's attending school for that, mortician work, and I never talked much about it to her because, you know, I've heard enough gory stuff about the preparation between her and her her companion. And it's just, like, you know, a little weird, but it's not impossible to look at the possible reality of what, why, and how things can or should be done, you know. So I really find that an interesting subject to discover. But if you go on YouTube, there is something on how they prepare people, even in the casket. And, you know, thank God it was an animation that was reenacting a portion of how I said, this is enough for me. I think I'll have to look at part two another day.
I appreciate you calling in with this, and that may be something that we have to talk about, you know. But for me, I'll be in heaven, so what happens to this body is no concern of mine. I'll be walking around in my new glorified body, and I wouldn't care if this one got burned up.
Very good attitude. I have to give it to you. I hope I can give you my one to that type of attitude. Just to understand it, you know.
Well, listen, thank you for calling in. You are so welcome.
Is
Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting nominee Antonia Batts. We want to thank her for calling in. But unfortunately, we got to take another break. So the work is done. We'll be right back in a moment.
Oh, God is able.
God is able.
Carry you through.
To carry you through.
Makes no difference.
It doesn't matter
what the world say or
what
do.
What they say or do.
Go to God.
Go to God and pray.
Then you can leave.
Get down on your prayer. Go to God.
if you need money,
DJ,
he's gonna give you double,
DJ,
for your trouble,
DJ,
if you need a healing,
DJ,
he's gonna touch,
DJ,
touch your body,
DJ,
do you know,
DJ,
do you know his neighbor,
DJ,
do you know his neighbor,
DJ,
do you know,
DJ,
do you know,
DJ,
do you know,
DJ,
in your future, do you see it coming? Do you see the blessings coming? Do you see the blessings coming? You ought to give them praise. You ought to give them praise. Cause your blessing is in your praise. You got to see it coming. You got to see it coming. If you see it coming, give them praise. No matter what the devil puts you through, you got to believe in 2006, the Lord. Your business fix right now. Scream for that blessing.
Oh,
now I'm here to tell you, anytime somebody come around you talking that negative talk, look them in the face, look them dead in the eye, tell them, God of Dave, God of Dave,
hey, yes, we're back with The Work Is Done. We are going right back to the phone lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, man of God, how you doing tonight, sir?
I am well. Brother Magic Man, how are you tonight?
I'm doing excellent, boy, I tell you. You know, your message tonight, the Hall of 19, Jared Petito, and 2021 producer nominated Honey Bee DJ. Well, y'all having a revival or something tonight? Did Imagine Man call into a revival?
Listen, man, you know God gonna do what he gonna do.
I just want to say I give thanks, man. I give thanks to the Most High, the Heavenly Father, for tonight's message. I give thanks to the Heavenly Father for all of the hosts here at ONE, our listening audience. And I definitely give thanks for my grandfather, who I inherit these great, because one of the things I learned from your message tonight that it's all right, and for many years it troubled me because my grandfather's, you know, like these grizzly bear hands, and it took years for me to realize that it's quite all right. It enabled me to be pimp slapping in on both sides at the same time. Like, I give thanks to God.
Imagine, man, you're going in and out. I can barely hear you.
I'm sorry about that. I was speaking to the best of my ability, sir. Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now. You're saying something about your grandfather, I believe.
Yes, my grandfather, I inherit these great big hands from my grandfather, and I just want to say I give thanks for him enabling me to haul off and to be able to pimp slap an enemy on both sides of the face.
Ooh.
And the back of the neck at the same time. So I definitely want to take time to give thanks to God.
Yes. You know, and sometimes that's what we got to do, man. We got to, you know, because he's always coming at us. The enemy is always coming at us. And this is what I tell people all the time. He's going to use the people who are closest to you to be the biggest threat to you. The stranger on the street means nothing because you don't know them. They don't know you personally. You haven't, you know, vested in them. They haven't really vested in you. But when it comes to your inner circle, those people that you allow into your inner circle, those are going to be the ones that he's going to try to use to come at you. You know, Jesus had 12 disciples, and Peter was one of the strongest ones, was one of the favored ones. He took Peter, John, you know, and James almost all to the inner circle wherever he went. He took him to the mountaintop. But yet Peter said something to Jesus that made Jesus turn around and look at him and say, "Get behind me, Satan." Because he recognized that Satan was trying to use Peter to deter Jesus from his assignment, from what he was about to do. He was using somebody who was closest to him. So, yeah, sometimes you got to recognize when the enemy is coming at you, take them big hands that you had, that you got from your grandfather, and slap that enemy right behind his neck. Up one side and down the other.
I love it. I love it, man of God. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Magic Man, for calling in. You know, listen, and to all the radio hosts here at ONE Dynasty, you know, who support the work is done on a constant basis, you know, and like you said, to all of those who are listening, we wouldn't have a show if it wasn't for you, the listening audience. You know, but this is why we do it. This is why, you know, there's a host broadcasting every night, because there's something out there that you people need to hear. And I'm just as grateful, you know, to the network, to Brother O, to all my fellow hosts who co-labor with me. But I just believe that it's messages like this that need to be heard. Because if you're out there struggling with your identity, man, who am I in Christ? And, you know, when he says turn his other cheek, boy, I done turned my cheek and turned back, and I'm still getting slapped. Is this what God intended for me, to just be walked on because I say that I'm a child of God? The answer to that is absolutely not. Absolutely not. God didn't call you to be a walking mat for anybody. He didn't call us to be walking mats for people to just walk over you and treat you like anything just because that's what they want to do. Well, put it this way. You're not going to do that to me. Title or no title, I am not to be walked on. I'm like that palm tree. It take a strong wind to make me bend, but I've been to a point, and then I'm going to snap back up. For everybody that's listening, you're not perfect. You never will be. Don't allow people to put you on a pedestal. Most importantly, don't put me on a pedestal. Give honor to whom honor is due. I thank you for honoring me as a man of God, as a pastor. But don't think it's that title that will allow you to treat me any kind of way. That's not who God created you to be. Brother O, showtime.
First of all, the greatest preacher I ever heard was a man by the name of Osro Thurston Jones, Jr., my cousin. And he said, take my title, but not my anointing. Take my title. All I want is for people to get in touch with God for something that will change them and make them better. May he rest in peace. Tonight, this show is all about wisdom. Just because a person, you know, follows certain tenets doesn't mean they're not human. So don't come across a person crazy. Because you don't know what could happen to you. The life that you saved might be your own. Tomorrow night on These Only States, we come back with, of course, the coach, Derek Gibson, and Huddle Sports Nation, right here at Studio A, 9:30 Eastern. Daylight time on These Only Stations. And, of course, Devil Nation is advertising to ONE, which is Ola Deli and Gozi Enterprise Research, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as in Gozi Primetime. When that, Devnet.com. We're in Gozi Time, both for Twitter and Instagram. Ola Deli and Gozi at Pinterest and Google Plus. Ola Deli Malibu and Gozi at Facebook, as well as our business page. The work is done, as well as the historic Devil Nation Online Radio, established 2013. And any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight, Ola Deli. That goes with mine, gmail.com. And I am Your mother and father's favorite producer on the Deli Malingwin goes, he's saying, good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. And now the invitation to discipleship by Pastor Kevin Perry in his last thoughts.
Well, we have come to the end of another episode of The Work Is Done. And I want to leave you with this thought. You do not have to come to Christ in a perfect state. He's not asking you to be perfect. He doesn't expect perfection from you. What he expects is a loyal and contrite heart, one that's willing to submit itself to his leadership and his guidance. And this is what I often tell people. You don't take a bath to clean yourself up to take a shower. Don't try to clean yourself up before you come to God. Allow him to do the work in you because he knows exactly what work needs to be done. He knows what areas are the dirtiest. And every time you try to clean that up yourself, only thing you do is make it more unclean. But when you allow yourself to come to God through Christ, God will clean you up like you've never been cleaned before. And if you want that, if you desire that tonight, simply say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Create in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, all you have to do now is begin to develop a relationship with God through communication. The communication that he requires is your prayer life. And be real with God. Don't try to be fake or phony with God. Don't treat God like one of your friends that you try to hide stuff from. Be real with him because he already knows the thoughts and intents of your heart anyway. So there's no need of you trying to be fake and trying to sugarcoat stuff when he already knows how you feel. Be real with him because he's going to be real with you. Hey, that's my time. I thank you all for your listening ear. And, hey, we'll see you here next time when the work is done.